And it turns out that, you know,
okay, we're gonna,
you can always do it and edit and try editing it with once. If it doesn't work, then you know not to do it again.
Okay. Well, let's talk about, we can do several different recordings today. Let's talk about, I had some stuff I wanted to talk about on an educational basis. There is, if you had, one of the ways you can make money is the interest rate in Japan right now has gotten down to about 0.5%. So you could borrow money in Japan at 0.5%. And you could take that money and you could bring it to the United States and you could invest it in something that is earning 5%. And this would, you could make a lot of money that way. One of the yes, go on.
There's a problem with bringing money from overseas back to the United States or bringing, going on to the other, because it's tariffed at a certain rate.
It is?
No.
No. What you've got is an exchange rate, however.
Yeah,
you've got to do...
If profits are tariffed, loans, money is not. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a different story. You're talking about when companies try to bring their profits back. Yeah, I'm talking about just borrowing yen and bring. Now, you have to borrow yen in Japan, and then you have to convert it to dollars to buy treasury bonds or whatever in the United States. And one of the risks of this is the changing, and then when you, and of course you don't make any money until you wait a while, and then you sell your bonds in the United States, convert it back to yen, and take it back over to Japan, and pay off the loan. And the difference, what you make is, the profit you make is the difference between the interest rate you paid and the interest rate you got. And the main problem is the fact that the exchange rate could change. And when you converted it back, if the exchange rate was different, and you have no absolute control over this, you might not make your money depending upon what's happened. Now, it's not individuals that are doing this. It's not you and me. You know, we don't have the millions of dollars to do it, to make it profitable. Who's doing it is, for the most part, institutional investors. We've got people like insurance companies who have all this money that they need to invest so that when they have to pay out a claim, they've got some money to do it with. We have retirement funds like CalPERS who are always looking for a place to invest their money. They made such great money during I can't think of any words today. The when the stock market was going great guns on all the high-tech companies, that they promised so much to people that they're going to have a hard time doing. So they're always looking for something. CalPERS would be likely to do something like this. There are also hedge funds. Hedge funds are mutual funds that do really risky things that are not regulated by the government, because the only people that can invest in them are people who have tons and tons and tons of money, and the government doesn't feel the need to protect them. So the hedge funds do this too. And so this is who's doing. And there's a term for this. It's called the carry trade. C-A-R-R-Y. Like care, and I guess it's because you carry the money from one country to another. Now, if you wanted to get really risky, you could, instead of investing your money in the United States, you could invest your money in Turkey, where the, what do they pay in interest?
18%.
Although, does Turkey allow you to invest there?
Oh, yes.
They do. Okay.
They're very anxious to get the money. That's why they're doing the
18%. Okay. And Japan is very anxious to loan money to you. That's why they're doing it at 0.5%. Now, what this has done is have a lot of people wanting to invest in things. The pension funds, the hedge funds, the institutions, they want to have things to invest in. And there's not enough treasury bonds out there. They want something else. So what's happened is that, and I think we talked about this a month or two ago, is that the banks that were loaning money to people to buy houses, used to be they could only loan the amount of money out that people had saved in their bank. And now they are bundling a whole bunch of loans together and selling them. This is called securitizing. They're turning it into a security. They are selling these loans as a package to the pension funds or the hedge funds or whatever as a way for these people to invest. And that gives the banks money that they can then loan out again. Bank of America, you have no idea whether they have sold your loan or not on your house. They may or may not
have the loan with Bank of America anymore.
Oh, well, whoever you have it with, sorry about that. Whoever you've got your home loan with, I assume you still have a home loan, they have no, you are still paying that bank your mortgage payment every month. And that bank is handling it, but they may have long since sold it to somebody else so that they could re-loan out that money to somebody else. And it's called, in this country, we call it a lot of liquidity when there's a lot of money available to be loaned. And that's because the liquidity means it's liquid, it's just freely flowing, easily available. Because of this availability of money to loan, because it's so easy to get somebody for a bank to buy their loans, some of the banks have been, in the last couple of years, making very poor loans. They call them subprime loans. They are loans to people who probably shouldn't be buying a house, maybe, because they don't really have the income for it. And they have made loans like, well, gee, housing prices are going up. We could make a loan to this couple and just say we're going to have it be an interest-only loan. And all they would have to pay the interest, they wouldn't have to pay the principal. That means they would have lower house payments, so they could afford the loan. And this is okay because housing prices are going up. And if they ever defaulted on the thing, we've got a house that's worth more than their loan because the price of the house would have gone up. And they've done that kind of loans. They've done the kinds of loans where you get a very, very low interest rate for the first 2 or 3 years, and then it goes up according to whatever the prevailing rate is. And then suddenly that prevailing rate is coming due, and the people are going, wait a minute, with the interest rate going up, I can't afford my loan. And so they've got a lot of problem loans out there because of all of this liquidity and all of this stuff that's going on. But you may, this all goes back to the reason there's so much money available for the banks to loan is because of where they're getting it from, because of this carry trade. You got anything to add? Did I adequately cover it?
I think you've covered it, but I'd like to toss in a couple of things numerical for appreciation. For instance, China is a country that has a lot of money to lend. According to the newspaper this morning, they have $1.07 trillion to lend. This is major money.
That's out there available for people or institutions to.
Yes. Yeah. Now, one thing that you haven't yet covered is where the risk comes in, and that is the cost of changing from one currency to another.
Yeah, I've talked about it, but I don't know I don't know what way it's going.
Okay. It is you're talking about tenth of a cent. Changes is significant. For instance, back in December, the Japanese yen was selling at 88 tenths of a cent, down from what is, or put another way, it was selling for about $1.25.
For a yen?
125 yens to the dollar.
Okay.
Currently, it is down to 118 yens per dollar. That is enough difference that it can totally wipe out the interest difference.
So that's the major risk.
That's the major risk.
Because you can't do this immediately. You can't borrow today and buy something and then turn around and sell it and go back. You've got to wait to get your interest in order. You've got to have a time elapse, or you don't earn any interest, and things like the exchange rate can change.
Now, when I was going to Japan, the exchange rate was 400 yen to the dollar. It's down to 118 to the dollar right now.
And when I passed through in 86, it was 240 when I arrived, and 13 months later, it was 160, and I came back, and it was 150 3 years later, and
so it changes. So this is this, and we don't know. Now, it seems like Japan and China are the countries that have money to lend. This is currently true.
It used to be England and the United States up until the Second World War.
Okay. All right. And the term carry trade, I think, is a fairly recent...
It's a recent term to talk about this. An earlier term years ago was arbitrage.
Doesn't arbitrage mean something?
Arbitrage covers a wider field.
But it's in that area. Okay.
What is arbitrage?
Arbitrage really is making
two different transactions
which will offset each other. If one is risky, then you do something to cover it the other way so that it lessens your risk.
Or increases the return.
And I can't think of anything right now, but...
Okay.
We'll have to.
I'm going to say, for example. The only example I can think of right now was my friend who, in seventh grade, on the Super Bowl, he bet a friend a quarter that Team A would win, and then he bet another friend a quarter that Team B would win, so that no matter what, he'd come out even.
He'd come out even. Yeah, that's basically arbitrage. That's it.
Prime, you were putting a call at the same moment.
Yeah.
Putting a call, it was also.
I thought, quite frankly, that he would have done just as well to not bet at all.
Yes, if he's not going to get anything, he would have, yeah.
Okay, a very common arbitrage is where one company is buying another company, or plans to buy another company. They would sell short one of the companies and buy the stock in another company.
Yeah.
It is possible to borrow shares of a company and then sell them, which you don't own.
But you got to eventually buy them back. And you generally do this when you think of that stock of the company's going down. See, I could not think of an easy example to give Karen, and you're doing a complicated one. I think her Super Bowl bet.
Your Super Bowl bet is a good example.
Don't hide, Karen. Okay.
But anyhow, the term carry trade will show up in the news.
Yeah.
You just need to be intelligent enough to know what they're talking about.
They're talking about it. Yeah. And it's really interesting. Every once in a while, one of these terms comes up, and once you hoist aboard that they're using the same term over and over again, then you got to find out what it means, or you understand what it means, and then you hear it all over the place. As I was saying, I don't know, just a few years ago, the term 24/7 started to be used a lot. And when I mentioned to Dad, I never heard that. And I says, come on, it's all over the place. And we talked about what 24/7 means. And then a couple of days later, he says, they are saying 24/7 all over the place, aren't they? Yeah. So it's once you've heard the term carry trade and understand what it means, if you listen to the news, you may hear it, and otherwise it might have just...
Kind of like the futures before, I may have heard it before, but it didn't mean anything until Dad talked about that a few times.
Yeah.
I still have no understanding of it,
but
I have a vague idea.
Okay. Well, our object in the investment club meeting is to try to educate.
And right. I hear the term quite a bit now.
The futures?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. do we want to...
Mainly on KCBS when they're doing their financial thing.
Yes. Let's stop this.
Okay.
And do it as a separate recording.
Do it as a separate recording.
Okay.